Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. We're looking tonight at the words of verse 15. Paul says, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. At first, when we read that verse, there seems to be somewhat of a contradiction. What has the gospel of peace got to do with warfare? And yet, when we consider it more closely, we see that it's a right and proper figure that is used here. For the peace which Christ procured for his people was not a peace procured at any price. It cost him his life. It cost him his soul. It cost him his precious blood. It was worked out for us upon Calvary in the tremendous struggle in which he engaged in. And it was won at a terrible price and in the most dreadful conflict. Again, when we remind ourselves that the gospel of peace is something opposed to all lawlessness, then we see how it's a fitting figure that we should think about the gospel of peace even in the midst of conflict and warfare. And that is the gospel which God calls us here as believers, if we know him, to be shod with, to be covered with, identified with. And when we're shod with the gospel of peace, it's therefore no surprise to us if there should be a conflict. When we're identified with the gospel, when it is part of us, when we are part of it, when we are allied with the truth of God, it's no surprise to us that we should be brought into antagonism with the wicked one. After all, the work of Satan is not a work of peace. The work of Satan is to destroy peace. He is a murderer from the beginning, the Bible says. He abode not in truth, and truth is the means of peace. So only if we compromise the gospel will we not come into conflict with him who is set in all his ways with all his plans against this gospel of peace. In spirit, the child of God is most surely at enmity with Satan. He is most surely at enmity with the spirit of the world. Therefore, it's no surprise that though we carry the gospel of peace, we're nevertheless in a battle and in a conflict. Now, if we think of the gospel of peace, or the shoes of the gospel as they're described here, we're going to mark three things concerning them. First of all, we'll notice the fashioning of the gospel sandals. These sandals or shoes that are described in verse 15 are fashioned by a divine maker. We remind ourselves, as we've done in previous weeks, that the armor which we wear in every part is the armor of God. Not simply that he provides it, but that he makes it. And the shoes are no exception to that rule. As the breastplate of righteousness comes from our righteous God, as the girdle of truth comes from him who is the way and the truth and the life, so the shoes of the gospel of peace are also of divine origin and character. And every part of the gospel is fashioned by the wisdom of God, the only wise one. Everything which makes the gospel of peace, is his. All that he does perfectly, and therefore the peace that he provides in the gospel through his Son is perfect peace. That which is fashioned by divine hand by divine power, by divine wisdom, is most sure to succeed. And you and I can therefore be confident of victory if we have on the sandals of peace. They are fashioned by a divine maker, but they're also fashioned in divine material. We're told that the shoes are made of the preparation of the gospel of peace. As you read the Bible, it's useful to mark certain aspects, certain phrases rather, that occur. And that especially, I think, is important when we think about the gospel itself. Many, many descriptions are given of the gospel in many parts of the Bible. Sometimes it's called the gospel of the kingdom, Matthew 4:23. Sometimes the gospel of Jesus Christ. Sometimes the gospel of the grace of God, or simply the gospel of God, or the gospel of the Son, or the gospel of Christ, or the glorious gospel of Christ. Sometimes, as in Ephesians 1:13, it is to us the gospel of our salvation. Sometimes the gospel of our Lord Jesus. Revelation tells us it's the everlasting gospel, and because it's personally ours, personally the believers, 2 Corinthians 4:3 says, it's our gospel. Well, here's another description. It's called the gospel of peace. And the word peace in the book of Ephesians is mentioned no less than 7 times. Ephesians 2 tells us that Christ is the one who has preached peace. He's not only the one who preaches peace, but he is the one who has procured peace. Ephesians 2 verse 14 says this, he is our peace. And not simply that he procures it or that he provides it, not simply that he supplies us with peace, but that he himself is the peace which he supplies to his people. That expression in Ephesians 2:14 shows us that Christ not only provides peace, he is the peace which he himself provides. And in other words, not simply to look to him for our salvation, but to him for our assurance. The gospel brings us salvation through Christ. It also brings us assurance through Christ. And he is as much our assurance as he is our salvation. Christ preached peace. Christ himself is the peace which he provides. The gospel of peace is also gospel of the bond of peace. He has made both one, Ephesians 2 says. He has broken down the middle wall of partition between us. That just doesn't mean that he's reconciled the sinner to God, but he's reconciled believing Jew and believing Gentile one to another, so that there can be peace with the brethren. Ephesians 6:23 adds this note, grace be unto you and peace to the brethren. Peace be to the brethren and love with faith. So this gospel of peace is a gospel of a peace which is many faceted. Peace with God, peace of conscience, peace among ourselves. There is the added promise in 2 Timothy that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. And when we're governed by that gospel of peace, and when we have the spirit of power and love and of a sound mind, that spirit of love to God sets us above the fear of man, and yes, even above the fear of Satan himself. It helps us to move forward into the battle with confidence and with expectation. The shoes of the gospel are made not only by the divine maker, but also of divine material. The gospel of the preparation of peace. We not only see the fashioning of the gospel shoes, their divine maker and their divine material. The second thing that we notice is the function of the divine shoes, or the gospel shoes. There's an old statement which was accredited to Napoleon, who's supposed to have said that an army marches upon its stomach. However, that's only half the truth. And good shoes must be one of the very first considerations for any soldier taking to the battlefield. For an army that's dependent upon its feet to attain its objective, it needs good shoes. If you look back at the history of the Roman Empire, maybe even at a map at the back of your Bible, you see the spread of the empire. And in days when they didn't have the conveniences of modern travel, much ground had to be covered simply upon foot, sometimes upon horseback, but oftentimes upon foot. These Roman legions and the soldiers of those legions had to march through countries of different terrain. They had to march through countries of different climate. They had to face all those various things. And because of that, they needed shoes that were properly made, properly fashioned, properly fitted to their feet. Things that would hold them up and give them support as they sought to march forward. And when we remember that many of the legionaries who served in Roman Britain came from Spain and Portugal, from France, from other parts, and had to travel many of those miles upon foot, then that constitutes a fine record of their marching ability and a good testimony to the shoe leather that they wore. They needed good shoes in order to march. To march from the chains of the burning heat of the Syrian summer, to the frosts of the Scottish moors from the baking deserts of North Africa, to the damp cold of Hadrian's Wall, from the swamps of Greece, to the sands of the Egyptian desert, and the sands of the Egyptian desert to the snow-filled passes of the Alps. They needed proper fitting, proper leather, proper shoes to wear, something which would enable them to endure all that walking and covering all that distance. Good footwear was absolutely essential to the soldier. And what's true in the temporal sense is true in the spiritual sense. In the service of the Lord Jesus Christ, believers, we can rejoice in this, that God has supplied us with sufficient grace. My grace is sufficient for thee. And really, there is no other way for us to be victorious in life's service or in life's struggle, no other way but by that grace of God and seeking that grace in Christ. See how often Paul calls us to stand here in Ephesians 6. Verse 10, he calls us to stand. Verse 13, we are to withstand. Verse 13 again, having done all, we are to keep on standing. Verse 14 adds this word, stand therefore. But we'll never be able to stand unless we're properly shod. And the only thing which enables us to hold ground for Christ and to occupy until he comes, and indeed to move forward for him, to gain ground for him, the only thing that helps us to do it is the gospel of peace. However many years we may be on the road to heaven, however many years may have passed since our conversion, there's no getting away from the importance of the gospel in the life of the Christian. We are saved by this gospel, says Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, if we keep in mind what we have believed. We've got to keep it in mind. Now, the function of the shoe, therefore, is absolutely important. It's necessary first to the support and standing of the soldier. The Roman soldier substituted for the greaves of the Greek soldier, which were the metal plates that covered the shins, substituted what were called the sandals, which were bound by thongs over the instep and round the ankle. The soles were thickly studded with nails that gripped the ground firmly. Even when the ground was slippery or sloping because of the nails in the sole of the shoe, the soldier was able to grip the ground. Good grip was absolutely vital, especially in close combat. And it was that gave the soldier his grip, the grip that he needed. Now, it's the same with the good news of the gospel. The good news that the child of God, through the shedding of Christ's blood, is at peace with God and has the assurance that if God be for us, who can be against us? The assurance that the assaults of the wicked one, however severe and prolonged, will never gain their ultimate purpose. That recognition keeps the child of God upright and firm. This salvation which God has given and this peace in Christ is wonderfully described in Ephesians 1 and verse 13. We're told, in whom also we trusted, after that we heard the word of truth, the gospel of our salvation. And the gospel of our salvation is something that God destined beforehand. Verse 11 says of the same chapter, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his will. What God has willed from all eternity cannot be altered. It will not be altered either in eternity or in time. That makes our salvation sure. That makes our assurance full and great. That keeps us upright and firm. That gives us standing and support in life's battle. It's also necessary to have the shoe for the sake of swiftness. The word preparation in Ephesians 6:15 is an interesting word. It comes from a Greek word which really means readiness. In other words, we're not only to have a secure fitting in the gospel of peace, we must be those who, in the struggle with the wicked one, are prepared to make it known. Again, how does the readiness to make known the gospel of peace fit in with the idea of warfare? Here's what one man comments. He says, the Christian soldier, having girded himself in the cause of truth, he must put on the gospel sandals, for it is by that which he is enabled to carry the good message. For that also belongs to the work of the battlefield. He puts on his shoes for the holy war. But in that war, he is not always closing with the enemy. There are times when he has to follow up an advantage. The message which he has to deliver is a message of peace. He fights not for fighting's sake, but that times of peace may be ushered in. And as he thinks of his message and enters into the spirit of that message, his sandals become promptitude, he becomes swift-footed, and he speeds on with that message. He goes at God's command. Paul tells us, therefore, the secret of marching ability for the soldiers of Christ is all dependent on the kind of shoes that are worn. Paul, because he was clad with those shoes, shod with the shoes of the preparation of the gospel of peace, he went at God's command all right. He had marched quickly from Antioch. He had gone through the province of Galatia. He said in Acts 15 that he must go again and travel further. He must go to Macedonia and Europe, then to Rome and through Rome to Spain. Yes, he was able to do it all because his feet were shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. When we enter into the spirit of the gospel that is ours, that gives us speed to go forward for the Savior, not just to hold ground, but to take ground and to move forward for Jesus Christ's sake. So we've seen the fashioning of the shoe, we've seen the function of the shoe. The third thing which we need to notice is the necessity of wearing the shoe. Look again at Ephesians 6, where he tells us, put on the whole armour, verse 11. He says, verse 13, take unto you the whole armour of God. And then he says, verse 14, stand therefore. Take all these different pieces. Now, there's a sense in which the Christian already has the peace of the gospel. You'll notice the exact wording of verse 14 and 15. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, then verse 15, and your feet are literally rendered, and having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And the word having indicates that the girdle and the breastplate and the shoes are something that the Christian already wears as he goes out to face the foe. He already has it on. Stand having on these things. Doesn't say stand and put those things on, but stand having them on. And in Jesus Christ, there's a sense in which the Christian already has truth, already has righteousness, and already has peace. It's a wonderful thing to know that having those things, we can go forward into the battle, facing the foe, with the peace of God in our hearts. You notice too that peace follows righteousness. That's important to remember. And our walk can only be a peaceful one, and we can only go into the battle with assurance if we have the Lord's righteousness covering our hearts. It's that which makes our walk holy, makes our steps perfect, makes our desires what they ought to be. It's that which affects our walking. So until we have the righteousness of Christ covering our heart, we'll never really have the gospel of peace upon our shoes. We'll never be shod with the gospel of peace. Thank God in Christ, there's a sense in which we're already shod with the gospel of peace. However, there's another sense in which we've got to put the shoes on every day. We've got to get a grip, and that gospel has got to master us. I was thinking recently that it's not so much the child of God mastering the gospel as the gospel day and daily mastering the child of God. He must be governed by divine truth every day. Only by that, in each day's battles, in each day's necessities, will the child of God be enabled to hold on his way. And one victory, one day, will encourage the child of God to victory in another day. The psalmist said, I will walk before God in the land of the living. But before he said it, he said this, for thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. Therefore I walk. Day and daily, we need to pray that the Lord clads us, clads our feet in the gospel of peace, that we might have a firm footing in divine truth, that it might take hold of us, that it might be our strength and stay. It wasn't the soldier's foot so much as what covered it that helped him to move forward. And it's the gospel mastering us, not so much us mastering the gospel, that keeps us walking and moving forward for Jesus Christ. It's a tragedy that many in our day, though they hear the gospel, know nothing about being shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. They have no covering for their feet. Like fools, the Bible says, they kick against the pricks. They need to know the gospel power in conversion before they're able really to enter the battle at all and fight for Jesus Christ's sake. May the Lord enable us to appreciate what he's done for us in providing us with the gospel of peace. may he keep us in that gospel may it continue to have a hold upon us. And as we think upon the armour of God, let's not only think upon it, but let's put it on day and daily. May the Lord help us to be a new ground for him, to the glory and honour of his Saviour's name.